إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All thanks and praise are due to Allah, who we thank, seek for help, and invoke for forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils within ourselves. He who Allah guides will never be misled, and who He misguides will never find one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared. Obey Him, be thankful to Him, and remember Him always, and die not except in a state of Islam. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to talk to you today about one of the famous scholars. It is Imam An-Nawawi. Some of you probably know him from his books. He's got several famous books, but probably Riyad al-Salihin and the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Imam Nawawi was born in the year 631 after Hijrah, and died in the year 676 after Hijrah. So he lived for about 45 years. He was born in Nawa, which is a village near Damascus. The Imam spent his adolescence in the village and memorized the Holy Quran. His father wanted him to join him in business, but An-Nawawi had interests otherwise. So his father moved him to Damascus. At that time, Damascus was the place people went to for education. He moved to Damascus at the age of between 18 and 19 years. So very similar to most of the students here, joining university at the same age. But let's see what he attained while he was in Damascus. He used to study 12 subjects daily from his teachers. And during the few years, he managed to study all the hadith, syntax, etymology, logic, principles of fiqh, and he even studied medicine for a while. He had many teachers, and we need to remember that at that time they didn't have the facilities we have today for learning. They used a lot to write the books by hand. They were handwritten books. They weren't easy to attain. There were no facilities. So to be able to achieve such a big achievement within such a short period of time must have been quite an undertaking. However, very soon, An-Nawawi became a scholar. And then he started having his own students. Amongst his works that we know of and which are published are 25 reference books. Obviously, I won't go through them all, but we all know Riyad al-Salihin. We all read it up to date. We still benefit from it up to date. And the 40 hadith that he has selected from all the ahadith that he felt constitutes the basics of this of Islam. Now, he wasn't only an accomplished scholar, but he was a highly pious person as well, very much devoted to praying, and always followed the sunnah and the traditions and prophets of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, amongst his students is a whole list as well, about 2 pages of accomplished students who all went on to become imams in their own merit. Now, I don't want to go through the whole biography, but the very striking thing here is here's a man who moved to study at the age of 18 and 19, probably like most of the students at university, and lived only for 45 years. But what has he achieved during these 45 years? The question that we need to ask is, why should somebody like him be able to accomplish all that? It must be that he understood the purpose of life quite clearly. He understood the ayah of the Quran that says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. God tells us that he's only created jinn and ins to worship God. Worship does not mean prayers and fasting only. Worship means achievement in life. So he must have had a very thorough understanding of this, and that's why he spent his life doing this. Also, he must have understood that every day that passes brings us closer to the hereafter. He must have understood the ayah in the Quran that says, يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah causes day and night to succeed each other. Truly, this is indeed a lesson for those who have insight. So he must have had insight. He must have understood quite clearly the value of the days, the value of the time he was given on earth. And finally, he must have understood the concept of al-mizan. The Quran has several ayahs like وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقَلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. This is a concept that he must have grasped quite clearly. This is what it's all about. At the end of the day, we will all return to God, and we will all have to stand in front of God, and the mizan, which is the scale, is going to be laid out. If on one side the good deeds are more than the bad deeds, you go to heaven. And if it's the other way around, وَلَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, you go to hell. This is not a simplistic approach, but this is actually what it is all about. And I've got no doubt that Imam al-Nawawi must have understood all these concepts. He must have understood the concept of time, because time is the most valuable commodity that a human being has. Money can come and go, health can come and go, time goes but does not come back. So the most valuable commodity that we all have is time. Let's try to look at the concept of time in a holistic manner. Let's take an average person who will live to be 60 years, for example, or 70. But let's take 60 because it's an easy round figure. Now, if somebody is going to live to be 60 years and he sleeps about 8 hours a day, he will spend 20 years of his life asleep. Now, if we assume that sin at-takleef, the age by which he starts to be able to gain points to put in his mizan, is about 15 years, add that to 20 years, it leaves only a period of about 25 years. During these 25 years, you need to do enough deeds to get you to paradise. But during these 25 years, there are lots of distractions as well. So life isn't that long when you think of it in an abstract manner this way. For example, if you spend 2 hours a day watching television, which most of us probably do, out of this formula, you are wasting 1/8 of your life. So out of the 20 years, you are wasting 2.5 years watching television. So you're spending 2.5 years out of 20. If you put this in money, say you had £2,000, you are actually wasting £250, throwing them down the drain. The Quran has brought to our attention the importance of time. There are many ayahs in the Quran that discuss time. There is Wal-Fajr, Wal-Ayalin Ashr, where God swears by sunrise or Al-Fajr. There is Wal-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Here God addresses us. He brings to our attention Wal-Asr. Why does he start with this word, Wal-Asr? It's time. He's bringing to our attention the importance of time. And then he tells us that all human beings are continuously in a process of diminution. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Everybody is continuously losing. We're continuously losing time. From the time we are born, we are continuously losing time. But then he makes an exception. He explains to us that only one category of people who are not in continuous loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe. But he didn't stop at believing. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So God has put belief with work. So belief and work. If you do these two together, you are not losing. You are not at a continuous loss. If you don't, you are at a continuous loss. Because your life is going away anyway. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. شبابك قبل هرمك. وصحتك قبل سقمك. وغناك قبل فقرك. وفراغك قبل شغلك. وحياتك قبل موتك. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad tells us, make use of, grab five things before five things befall you. Grab your youth before you are too old. Do things that you need to do as a young man. Do your hajj. Do night prayers, do things that require health, strength, before you are too old to do them. Then he tells us, grab your health before your sickness. If you are healthy, make use of it. Don't take it for granted, because health can be taken away from you any time. If you are healthy, make use of your health before you lose it. The third thing that Prophet Muhammad teaches us to do is to grab our rich before our poverty. So if you are rich, if you have money, you don't have to be very rich, but if you have money, make use of this money to gain points. Make use of this money to add to the scale, because this money can be taken away from you very quickly and then it would be too late. The fourth item that Prophet Muhammad teaches us to grab hold of is فَرَاغُكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ. Your free time before you are too busy. And this is one thing that we're probably all guilty of. We have free time. And it's interesting that some of us even say, I'm going to kill some time by doing this or doing that. How can you kill time? How can you kill your most important commodity? Sooner or later, this can be taken away from you. You might find yourself with no free time at all. You might find yourself so busy that you don't have time to do anything you want to do. So make use, grab your free time. And finally, Prophet Muhammad teaches us to grab our life before our death. There is no age for death. Death comes at any time. Being young or old does not mean that you are not going to die. Anybody can die at any time. So make use of your life. If you're living, if you're breathing, make use of this. Invest this to build up the good side of al-mizan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught us another very valuable lesson in the hadith, where he says, لَن تَزُودَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. شبابه فيما أبلاه وعمره فيما أفناه وماله فيما اكتسبه وكيف أنفقه. Prophet Muhammad teaches us very, very, a very important lesson. He's telling us what we're going to face. He says that in the hereafter, no human being is going to pass on before he is asked about three things. One is his youth. How did he make use of his youth? So you see that the emphasis in youth keeps coming over and over and over in all the hadith. It's very important to make use of your youth, of the years when you are young. The second thing is about your life. We're all going to be asked about the years. Years mean time. How did we spend our time? Can we stand in front of God and be asked about our time and say we were killing time because we were bored? And the third item that we're going to be asked about is our money. How did we earn our money and how did we spend it? It's very easy to be tempted to try and earn money from any means, whether it's halal or haram. It's very tempting to go and take riba, which is haram. And how do we spend the money? Have we spent our money in good deeds? Have we spent our money where it should be spent? Or have we spent our money wasting it? So all these things bring to our attention the importance of time. Time management is very important in a Muslim's life. The main essence of time management is prioritization. We all know the exercise that management teach people, where they are given a box, a big brick, pebbles, sand and water, and asked to put it all in the box. If you put the pebbles and the sand first, you will not find a place for the big brick. The only way you can fit everything into the box is put your big brick first, then put your pebbles around it, then allow the sand to trickle through, and finally add the water. You can fit everything into it. This is how you should manage your time. You should decide what is your big brick. Is your big brick to go to heaven? If it is, then you should put it in first and work around it. If your big brick is otherwise, that's fine. But you have to live with your choice and you have to stand one day in the hereafter and explain your choice. There is enough time, but time management is important. So we must all learn to get our priorities right. The main priority for everybody is to go to heaven. So we must get this priority right. This doesn't mean that we don't work. This doesn't mean that we don't study. This doesn't mean that we don't excel in life. As a matter of fact, all these things can be ways to heaven. And this leads me to the next point, which is we need the knowledge of how to make maximum use of our daily activities and how to make maximum use of our time. So we need to spend some time every day to learn about Islam and learn about the things that we can do that will lead us to heaven. There are many things that we need to learn. Simple daily activities can become points that are added to al-mizan. We know that we are told that innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat. Actions are only by intention. We need to learn that. We need to learn how to create intention. You can do simple things. You can go to work and take hasanat. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even teaches us. He says, "Inna fi bid'i ahadikum la sadaqa." This means that a man who has normal relations with his wife, he can get a sadaqah. So they asked him, how do you get a sadaqah? You know, are we having pleasure and get a sadaqah? He said, yes. Because if you were sleeping around where you shouldn't be, you would be punished. So if you sleep with your wife with the intention of preventing her or preventing yourself from fornication, you will get a sadaqah. We need to learn about that. Then, fine. If you're a married man, you can have a sadaqah every night. You just need the intention. إماطة الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. Just removing dirt from the street is a sadaqah if you do it with the right intention. البشاشة في وجه أخيك. If you smile in your wife's or your brother's or your sister's face, you get a sadaqah, provided you do it with the right intention. So there are a lot of things that can give us sadaqat, a lot of things that we can pick along in everyday life, not just prayers and fasting. But we need to learn about these things. So we need to invest some time to read the books that teach us how to make these points. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله النعمة المهداة والرحمة المزداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So brothers and sisters, let's take heed of what's happened here. I had loads of ahadith that I hoped I would be reading them out to you. But look at what happened. We've run out of time. So time passes very quickly. Time is easy to lose. It's like trying to grab very hard some sand in your fist. The sand just trickles out of it. So we must all learn not to waste our time. We must remember the purpose of life. What are we here for? We must remember al-mizan, the scales. We must remember that we will all stand in front of God and al-mizan, the scales, will be put there. We must make sure that we've got enough on the good side. Everybody has a path to heaven. But everybody needs to spend the time to find his or her path. Some people's path to heaven is through prayers, night prayers, etc. Some people's path to heaven is through spending money. Some people's path to heaven is through helping other people. Everybody has got a path to heaven. There is a path for everybody, because we know that there is a place in heaven for everybody. But everybody needs to spend the time and make the effort to find his or her path to heaven. Time management is most important. We must not waste the most valuable commodity that we have been given. And finally, we need to acquire the knowledge of how to gain the points. We need to spend some time, at least 10 minutes every day, just doing some reading to learn how to acquire the knowledge, to learn about the means to get us to heaven. Is this not something good enough for all of us to try and spend some time to learn just how to get to heaven? And it's not that hard. It's very simple things. It's daily activities. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فاتبعون احسنه. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ابدا ما احييتنا. وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا. وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا. وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا. واشرح به صدورنا. ونور به قلوبنا. وأطلق به ألسنتنا. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت. وعافنا فيمن عافيت. وتولنا فيمن توليت. وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت. وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما. واجعل تفرقا معصوما. ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يتوب عليكم. وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.